This morning, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush endorsed Texas Senator Ted Cruz for the Republican presidential nomination. Last night, Cruz won in a landslide in Utah's primary. And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders had a landslide win in the Democratic caucuses in both Utah and Idaho. And in the Arizona primary, also last night, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton grabbed 58% of the vote. Donald Trump won with 47%. In that state. This week's voting was set against the backdrop of the terrorist attacks in Brussels, of course, which have already changed the tenor of the race.
Well, and someone else is trying to change the tone of the race. This morning, House Speaker Paul Ryan chimed in with this in a speech to congressional interns.
Our political discourse, both the kind that we see on TV and the kind that we experience among each other, it did not used to be this bad, and it does not have to be this way.
Yes, for our day after the primaries, let's bring in Here and Now's political strategist Angela Rye, Democratic consultant, not affiliated with any campaign. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
And Paris Denard, Republican consultant, also not affiliated with a campaign. Hi to you, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
So take up Paul Ryan first, because he went on in his speech to make a mea culpa of sorts. He said there was a time when he would talk about the difference between makers and takers in our country, referring to people who accepted government benefits. But as I spent more time listening and really learning the root causes of poverty, I realized I was wrong. And he goes on for several paragraphs. He says, I'm not being politically correct. I was wrong. Paris, what is going on here?
Look, there is a strong sentiment within the party that the rhetoric has to tone down and that we need to directly talk to independents and quite frankly, Republicans who are not moved by some of the language and that you hear from the campaign currently. But to Speaker Ryan's credit, he is affiliated with and is good friends with Arthur Brooks of AEI, who wrote the book called Conservative Heart. And this is some of the messaging that Arthur's been trying to get more and more Republicans and conservatives specifically to talk about as it relates to being a Republican and being conservative. Arthur says point blank, I'm a conservative because I care about the poor and want to do something about it. And I believe that the economic policies and free enterprise system can help bring people out of poverty. And so this is a good moment for the party, and it's good leadership on the part of Speaker Ryan, especially talking to interns.
Okay, well, Angela Rye, you weigh in on the Democratic side, because I'm wondering if there's a feeling of where were you when language was being spewed like questioning President Obama's status as an American?
Well, not only that, but also questioning the validity of his Harvard transcripts. And so I don't know where he was, but if this is a real evolution, I'm happy about the evolution. And I think the only other thing that I would add, frankly, is the evolution at this particular time with the rhetoric that's going on with this particular presidential election is frightening to me. Why? Because we just saw someone who is normally been deemed a typical conservative being marginalized and outcast by the Republicans in the House. So if Paul Ryan continues down this track with the Republican Congress that we have, with the Republican House that we have, he may be in some real trouble because he's not on message with the rest of what a lot of them think, the majority of them think.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and of course, all of this is happening, as Robin pointed out a little earlier, that once again, we have a terrorist attack to contend with and the fallout from that and the political fallout here in the United States, which we're already seeing happening because, for example, there's this. Ted Cruz yesterday actually called for the patrolling of Muslim neighborhoods in the United States. He said this on CNN.
That does not mean targeting Muslims. It means targeting radical Islamic terrorism. You ask, what does that mean? You know, Mayor Bloomberg in New York had a very successful program to engage with the Muslim community and to prevent radicalization and to identify radical Islamic terrorists before they carry out acts of terrorism. Mayor de Blasio came in and ended that program, said we're no longer going to do so. That was foolishness.
Okay, so Ted Cruz there trying to clarify, but earlier he had said patrolling law enforcement, patrolling Muslim neighborhoods before radicalization. So, Paris, let's start with you. What's your take on this?
I think that Ted Cruz has to walk a fine line. I mean, he wants to be the anti-Donald Trump, but a lot of his policies and statements are sort of right on par with Donald Trump. He even was one who's called for a moratorium on allowing Muslims to come into the country. Well, Donald Trump didn't say moratorium. He just said, I don't want Muslims coming into the country until we figure out what's going on. Pretty much the same policy, different on semantics. And so I think what Ted Cruz is trying to do is tap into a base of supporters that Donald Trump has that identifies with what he's saying. while being the establishment candidate, because as you see more and more establishment politicians and leaders are and donors are coming to his aid to stop Donald Trump from getting the nomination. So it's a fine line.
Well, but Angela, don't Democrats have a fine line to walk as well? Because there are Americans who don't consider themselves, you know, in somebody's base, who are concerned about what they see, terrorism overseas. And, you know, there's a call for President Obama to step up his plan, his strategy for fighting terrorism. I mean, don't they have a line to walk as well?
Sure. And I guess what I would say is it's not that there's no strategy. I think the point is when you begin to call in to question entire religions, and you begin to frame the Islamic community in this country as potentially dangerous by calling for, whether you want to call it a moratorium or a temporary ban, that type of rhetoric is what results in violence. We've seen time and time again this type of rhetoric turn into legitimate violence of individuals who were not part of perpetrating any of these acts. And so I think what we should not do is legislate or pass laws out of fear. That never goes well for us. And I think that this is the problem with both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump's fear-mongering in this cycle. It's not okay to talk about patrolling Muslim communities. It's not okay. What does it mean to monitor radical Islamic terrorism without patrolling and profiling people of color who are Muslims? Yeah. I mean, what does that really mean? And I think if he digs deep, he'll know that's not a policy to really be pushing. That is the type of thing that gets very dangerous very quickly. That is why de Blasio ended that program. It was racial profiling.
Well, let's turn now to what the Democratic candidates have been saying, because they were pushing back exactly on this point. Here's Hillary Clinton in Seattle last night.
The last thing we need, my friends, are leaders who incite more fear. In the face of terror, America doesn't panic. We don't build walls or turn our backs on our allies.
Here's also Bernie Sanders in Arizona with the wind blowing behind him. He also pushed back.
We are fighting a terrorist organization, a barbaric organization that is killing innocent people. We are not fighting a religion.
Okay, Paris, so let's turn back to you. I mean, this is pushback you're hearing from the Democratic candidates. Do you think it's effective?
No, because, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I think the American people understand that it is not all Muslims. It is radical Islamic terrorists. And that's what ISIS represents. And so the more they try to find ways of getting around calling the enemy what the enemy is, the more they look like they don't really have an understanding of what the American people understand. And what the rest of the world understands is that there are a segment of radical Islamic terrorists who are coming for peaceful civilizations. Look, in Brussels, there's a community of known terrorists that were living and breeding and doing all the stuff that they did nothing about. If they had laws and if they were more vigilant, maybe some of these things wouldn't have happened. But the fact of the matter is the Democrats are afraid to be as strong as they should be in terms of their language and in terms of their policy on dealing with what President Obama said was a JV team.
Okay, well, Angela. Yeah.
I just have to push back on that. This isn't about Democrats being afraid of anything but rhetoric that results in violence. It literally has turned into violence for people who had nothing to do with this. I'm fine with the term radical Islamic terrorism if we can call it radical fraudulent Islamic terrorism, right? These are people who are using Islam as a cloak for what they're doing. There's a whole video out today about how these folks aren't really believers. If they were, they would know that the Quran told them to do something very different than what they've been perpetrating.
Right.
So I just think that we have to be clear, not only on our language, but on what we call for in the face of fear.
Okay. There's a lot else going on. Of course, this is going to be an undercurrent all day, but we just want to wrap up some things that happened today very quickly. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are in a back and forth about each other's wives. Donald Trump tweeted a threat, which he deleted, but then reposted, the threat to dig up dirt about Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, a Goldman Sachs executive on leave for the campaign. This was after an anti-Trump ad in Utah showed a nude photo of Melania Trump, Donald Trump's wife from earlier modeling days. So it's going to be interesting to see if those two candidates cannibalize each other. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders says he's still got a chance to win the nomination. He's pushing forward. Just very, very briefly, Paris, on your side, the Republican side, what's happening with the thinking of a contested convention?
I think that a lot of people are seeing the writing on the wall and saying that Donald Trump may have the momentum to get what he needs in terms of delegate numbers. Because, look, when he, if he continues to win these winner-take-all states and do quite well, he might get to a point that there won't be a contested convention. Many, many on the Republican side are coming to grips with that. That's why there's such a vicious, strong, and aggressive plan to support Ted Cruz, like Jeb Bush coming out, which I think is way too late and ineffective.
And Angela, just very briefly, Bernie Sanders is pushing on.
Yeah, he is. I think, again, we know now that the math really isn't on his side, but I don't think that we can expect him to drop out before the convention now, before he was talking about June. One thing that I wanted to add was
real quick
on the Trump and Cruz battle. John Dingell had the best quote last night on Twitter. This clown wants to be president. And he tweeted that about both of them in that exchange about their wives.
There you go. Angela Rye. And by the way, her name is Melania Trump. I'm so sorry. And I'm sure she's happy I got her name right and wants the picture out of the picture. Paris Denard, a Republican consultant. Angela Rye, Democratic consultant. Thank you both as always.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.